Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Angela Davis, and this is NPR News. So glad you could join us today. We've been hearing a lot about monkeypox lately, and now there are 38 confirmed cases in Minnesota as of Tuesday. Earlier this month, the World Health Organization declared that monkeypox is a global public health emergency. So what does that mean for you and your loved ones and our whole community here in Minnesota? Today, we are sorting through what we need to know to stay healthy and safe now that this virus has been declared a public health emergency in the states of California, New York, and Illinois. Here's where we stand nationwide. About 5,800 cases of monkeypox have been reported. Nearly 1,400 of those cases are in New York. About 800 cases have been reported in California, and 500 are in Illinois. This morning, I'm talking with two doctors who can answer all of your questions. We will break down what the experts know about monkeypox, how it spreads, how it's contracted, who is at higher risk for getting it, and how to prevent it. And we want to hear from you. Our phone lines are open. What questions do you have about monkeypox? Are you a family member or a friend in a high-risk category? What questions do you have about prevention? And are you feeling overwhelmed by news about a new infectious disease when we are still dealing with COVID-19? Call us at 651-227-6000. Again, the phone number is 651-227-6000. You can also call 800-242-2828. You'll find me on Twitter. I'm at Angela Davis, NPR. Let's bring in our guests. We have with us Dr. Nick Lennertz, a medical advisor for the Minnesota Department of Health, the Infectious Disease Division. Good morning to you, Dr. Lennertz.
Hey, good morning, Angela. How are you doing today?
I'm well. We also have Dr. Rebecca Wirtz with us, an associate professor and infectious disease physician at the University of Minnesota School of Public Health. Good morning to you, Dr. Wirtz.
Good morning, and good morning, Dr. Lennertz.
Hey, good morning, Rebecca.
Glad to have both of you on the line. And so, Dr. Lennertz, I'll start with you. Tell us, how do you talk to people about monkeypox? Exactly what is it?
Well, monkeypox is a pox-like virus. It historically has been incredibly rare, and it's been focused in areas of West Africa and Central Africa. And so, you know, when we talk about monkeypox, the first thing I want to note is that this is not like a second coming of COVID, right? This is very, very, it's much less transmissible than COVID. First off, you noted that we currently have 38 cases mm-hmm. in Minnesota. And if we all remember COVID and stuff, we were seeing thousands of cases a day. And still to this day, I mean, like in the last 7 days, we've had 10,000 reported cases of SARS-CoV-2 here in Minnesota. And so the first thing I would mention is much less transmissible. And the second thing is that coronavirus, and I'm going to do a lot of comparisons here, but coronavirus, that was new. That was brand new. We didn't know anything about it, right? Mm-hmm. Monkeypox, we identified back in the 50s. We've known about it for a long time. We know it's a relative of smallpox, generally less transmissible and less severe than smallpox. We have a little bit more familiarity with it. So those are probably the two big points.
Important point to make. So we know what it looks like, how to treat it, and what can happen. And I have to ask this, how dangerous is monkeypox? Have there been fatalities?
Well, so far in this current outbreak, we are not aware of any fatalities, globally from this and for sure in the state. We're not even really seeing any very severe cases. We are seeing folks, some folks that are requiring hospitalization primarily due to pain. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, this current outbreak, we have not seen the severity that we have seen historically In like places like Western or Central Africa, where the case fatality rate can range between 1% and 10%. But again, I think there are multiple factors contributing to that increased case fatality rate in those regions of the world.
And Dr. Linnetz, you mentioned the pain. So tell us about the symptoms. It's painful.
Historically, monkeypox, and again, this is historically the classical symptoms, you know, you have this prodromal, symptoms of fatigue and malaise and fever and headache. And then, you know, within a few days after that, you get this very specific rash that disseminates throughout the whole body and sort of goes through these very synchronous stages. What we're seeing now is we're seeing that oftentimes people don't have this sort of prodromal symptoms. They just have this rash. And oftentimes the rash is located in very sensitive parts of the body. It can be in the oral cavity. It can be in the genital anal region. And lesions in those areas can be extremely painful.
And I've looked, and I'm sure many people have seen the photos of these lesions, these sores, often on people's faces. So those lesions, those sores, do they create scars that last for years?
You know, it really depends on just the severity and the dissemination of the lesions themselves. And while I haven't seen any permanent scarring from this current outbreak, you know, I would defer to Dr. Wirtz on that as well.
Dr. Wirtz, what can you tell us about, again, I think a lot of folks, when they've been doing research, that they see the photos, the images. And what do we know about these lesions, these sores that appear?
And the images are frightening, aren't they?
Yes.
Fortunately, they resolve almost in everyone on their own over the space of several weeks. They may, the pustular lesions change into scabs, and then eventually the scabs fall off in 2 to 4 weeks. And, you know, there may be slight scarring, minimal residual scarring, but really very limited long-term effects from it.
And if you have a monkeypox, is there a time frame? Like, typically, how long do the symptoms last, like the fatigue and the fever and headaches? How long can that go on?
Yeah, just for the first few weeks, much like any other acute infection, the low-grade fever. Now, again, many people are absolutely asymptomatic, but if you have symptoms, they usually resolve within 10 to 14 days of the first appearance of the lesions.
So you can be asymptomatic and have it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, I've read
that's partly, I think that's an important point because that's how it spreads. People don't even know that they have it.
Now, we mentioned smallpox briefly there. And how is this virus related to smallpox, Dr. Wirtz?
It's a cousin. It's in the same kind of general family, but clearly completely different in its behavior. Smallpox was a deadly, widespread disease before it was eradicated. And monkeypox really only shares the appearance, the similar appearance of the pustules, but otherwise is very, a relatively trivial infection.
And Dr. Linnetz already mentioned that this has been around for decades. And in fact, I believe the first human case of monkeypox was discovered back in 1970. So Dr. Wirtz, why does it seem to be spreading more rapidly now?
Yeah, such an interesting question. I think several reasons. We no longer vaccinate people against smallpox. We stopped doing that in most parts of the world around 40 years ago. And smallpox vaccination does appear to be preventive against monkeypox infection. And so we've got people now who either never got a smallpox vaccine or whose smallpox immunity is waning. So that's one reason. Another is the global dissemination of an infectious disease based on travel, based on behavior, much like we've seen with COVID. People travel a lot, and we've seen how rapidly something like this can spread. The last thing I'll say, and I think also this is important, that there is stigma and silence around sexually transmitted infections in general. And in many parts of the world, still stigma and silence around gay men or men who have sex with men. In some parts of the world, homosexuality is an offense punishable by death. So no wonder people may not be quickly ready to present themselves to a doctor or have this recognized.
And Dr. Linnetz, let's talk about how monkeypox spreads, because it's not considered a sexually transmitted disease. What is the distinction there?
Well, let me just say that the monkeypox is primarily spread through direct skin-to-skin contact with the lesions themselves. And so, like I said earlier, it's much, much, much less transmissible than something like COVID or the flu. you can transmit monkeypox without having sexual intercourse, to be blunt. But what we're really looking for is that oftentimes close intimate contact, skin to skin contact, oftentimes happens during sort of intimate relations, during sex, things of that nature. And so the distinction, I think, is kind of not that important. It's sort of like this whole idea of skin to skin contact. And one of the things, you can have skin to skin contact as a caregiver. If you're a parent with monkeypox and you have intimate contact with your child, you know, like holding him, bathing him, like whatever, you can transmit that way as well. And so I don't think we need to distinguish it as a like a classical sexually transmitted infection, although we are seeing that a large proportion of cases are being infected during intimate close contact.
Skin to skin contact. So that's one way. What's another way that it spread?
That's the primary way. And it's we really want to emphasize skin to skin direct contact with the lesions. Now, we can also, it can also be transmitted through like direct contact with like bedding or sheets or towels that have sort of the lesion like residue on it. Mm-hmm. And so you can have a form by transmission like that. Or you can even, if you have, say, like oral lesions, some of the viral material, if you cough, like droplet contact, that can be a source of transmission as well. But the overwhelming risk is through that direct skin-to-skin contact.
And what can you tell us about respiratory, it's spreading like through the air? Does that happen at all, or does it have to be over a prolonged period of time and really close, Dr. Lennox?
Right now, the current recommendation is that, you know, if you are within 6 feet of someone with monkeypox, you know, active monkeypox infection, for 3 hours, then you're considered to have a risk of exposure. You know, I'm not aware of any cases that so far have been transmitted through a respiratory means. And so again, it's primarily this direct skin-to-skin contact. Now, I will make the caveat that if an individual is having, let's say they have monkeypox and they're having a procedure in the hospital, say like they're having an airway procedure where, you know, like an endoscopy or something where you may aerosolize during the procedure some of the viral material, then you have to be cautious about respiratory transmission in that scenario. But generally speaking, it's direct skin-to-skin contact.
All right. We're talking about monkeypox and what we need to know about how it spread, how to prevent it, and what the signs and symptoms are, and how concerned we should be about it here in Minnesota. As I talk with two infectious disease doctors, I'm taking your phone calls and questions. What questions do you have for them? Are you or a family member or a friend in a high-risk category? What questions do you have about prevention? And are you just feeling overwhelmed by news about yet another new infectious disease when we're still dealing with COVID? You can call us at 651-227-6000 or 800-242-2828. Let's take some phone calls from listeners in Minneapolis. Natalie is on the line. Good morning, Natalie. And what did you want to ask or share?
Good morning. I wanted to ask about the best way to protect children, especially as they all head back to school, and if a vaccine would ever be available for them.
All right. School kids heading back. Natalie is asking about that. We just talked about skin to skin contact. Dr. Wirtz, do you want to answer Natalie there?
Sure. An important thing to remember is that washing hands still makes a big difference. So if one were caring for someone with monkeypox, to wash one's hands after helping that person before any close contact with a child, to remind children to wash their hands. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a small risk, and I think this is, you know, the remains to be seen, but it's not uncommon for kids to wrestle, you know, to be in contact with each other in kindergartens. There's a third cousin of monkeypox and smallpox called molluscum contagiosum, a trivial and self-limited infection of the skin, but pretty common in kindergartners who, you know, are in physical contact with each other. Mm-hmm. So just important to remind people to wash their hands as a routine.
And so how, again, how close of contact do you think you need to be to potentially get the virus, Dr. Wirtz?
Well, skin, you know, really skin to skin contact, and not just, again, broken skin to broken skin. Mm. Wrestlers would be another population.
Sport.
Again,
mm-hmm.
Many skin infections spread among wrestlers or people who do jiu-jitsu. aggressive skin-to-skin contact, not shaking hands, not, you know, patting someone on the shoulder, but more aggressive skin-to-skin contact is, you know, again, a small and as yet unreported risk in this outbreak.
Let's take another phone call in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We've got Doug on the phone. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Angela. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's your question?
My question is, we seem like the last 2 weeks spending a lot of time talking about monkeypox on the airwaves, mm-hmm. and right now it's less than 0.02% of a percent of cases, not only in Minnesota but nationwide. I feel like we're getting people more worked up and maybe causing more anxiety than the actual disease is causing trouble. While it's a terrible disease, if you get infected, I get that. There's just so many much more important subjects that we should be discussing, I think, instead of, you know, scaring people into thinking, oh, kids can't go back to school, et cetera, because a few people have monkeypox. Mm.
All right, Doug and Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Dr. Lennertz, you're there with the Minnesota Department of Health. We've got 38 confirmed cases in Minnesota. Are we scaring people by talking about monkeypox?
You know, Doug, thank you for bringing up these points. And I do appreciate what you're saying, because it is true. We have to balance out sort of like informing the public of this this sort of outbreak, but without causing a panic, right? And I think we really need to sort of say, here are the people that are at risk, right? And here are, and prevention measures, you know, like individuals that we have seen globally that are at risk are individuals who have maybe multiple intimate contacts. They're unaware of that individual status, you know, like things of this nature. But we're not seeing just sort of the general transmission in the public, like as Dr. Wirtz was saying, shaking hands, putting a hand on a shoulder, this type of thing. It's much, much more difficult thing. And so I think we need to balance that in saying, like, what is your individual risk? And we need to be very conscious about, you know, very open and honest about, like, who's at risk and who's really maybe at minimal risk and needs to take minimal precautions, such as Dr. Wirtz mentioned, washing your hands, you know, maintaining sort of like an understanding if someone has lesions that we don't, you know, we don't have skin to skin contact with them, things of that nature. So, yeah, I think. And we at the Department of Health are always trying to balance that and walk that line between informing the public but not causing greater concern or anxiety than really needs to be.
Mm-hmm. And our intent is to inform. Yes, Dr. Wirtz, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to jump in to say I also think public health is a little bit sensitive. It was criticized for not reacting strongly enough and quickly enough to COVID. And so I think it's public health, and public health authorities are very appropriately trying to walk that fine line between getting all the information out there for and making sure that people who are at higher risk are well informed, as well as not frightening people.
All right. I want to get back to, like, who is most at risk? Who is on that list most at risk? And how would you define that, Dr. Lennertz?
Yeah, I would say that individuals that are most at risk are individuals who are having close, intimate relations with multiple individuals, maybe that they're not familiar with. Maybe they don't know their current status as far as, do they have prodromal symptoms? Do they have lesions? You know, oftentimes what we're seeing in this current outbreak is that individuals with monkeypox are only having maybe a couple of lesions in a certain area, and it's not this full-blown rash. And so individuals, obviously, that are having intimate relations with people that maybe they aren't familiar with, those are the folks that are most likely at increased risk.
And we know the monkeypox outbreak so far has disproportionately affected gay and bisexual men. So what should men who have sex with men know about monkeypox in order to stay safe? Dr. Wirtz?
Well, it can definitely be transmitted by sexual relations, but also just by intimate contact. And so, for example, wearing a condom is not enough to prevent the transmission of monkeypox during sexual relations. And some authorities, including the WHO, have suggested that people back off for a few weeks until the situation is stabilized from having relationships with people unknown to them.
And Dr. Lennertz, anything you would add to that?
Yeah, you know, I As my grandparents used to say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And I think there's a lot of sort of discussion right now about shortages of vaccine and all this kind of stuff. And really, as Rebecca says, you know, just hold off a little bit and really understand sort of like who you're being intimate with, who you're having contact with. And that's going to go a long way to keep everybody safe.
Let's take more phone calls as we talk with two infectious disease doctors about monkeypox. Call us at 651-227-6000 or 800-242-2828. Let's go to Fargo and talk to Clara. Clara, good morning. And what's your question?
Hi. So thank you for having me on. I guess I'm wondering, hand, foot, and mouth disease, it kind of goes around daycares and such. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how similar, or if there are any similarities between that and monkeypox, just because you have like the fever and the rash and stuff.
All right. Hand, foot, and mouth disease. We see that a lot in daycares, as she mentioned. And what would you say to folks who are concerned about their small kids, Dr. Wirtz?
Hand, foot, and mouth disease is incredibly more contagious than monkeypox. And, mm-hmm. Again, as the caller mentioned, very common, but not very common, a relatively trivial infection, far more contagious than monkeypox. So really very different, completely different families of viruses and different transmission.
Okay. In Moundsview, let's talk with another listener. This is Matt on the phone. Good morning, Matt. What did you want to ask or share with us about monkeypox?
Hi, I just wanted to thank you all for talking about monkeypox. It is something I think the country should be aware of. I live in San Francisco, and it's definitely an issue there, as I suspect it is or will become an issue in cities like New York as well. And currently in San Francisco, I don't know off the top of my head how many cases, but I know we don't have enough vaccines.
All right. Well, we reported in the intro, I can tell you this, Matt, that there are about 800 cases so far reported in California. I don't know about the San Francisco area specifically, but what concerns you most about monkeypox?
Just getting people, at least in the Bay Area, getting people vaccinated. I know our mayor, London Reed, has been trying to get vaccines, and we just can't get enough vaccines right now. And that's my main concern. I think it's good that people just have an awareness of what's going on.
Awareness.
I guess in the other parts of the country.
Okay, thank you. That's Matt in Moundsview, who actually lives in San Francisco. So let's talk about vaccine. Are vaccines available for monkeypox? And if so, are they available here in Minnesota? Dr. Lennertz?
Yeah, the vaccine, as is mentioned, is incredibly short supply. And so there's not going to be enough vaccine for everybody who either wants it or is at increased risk for monkeypox, which is why prevention is such a critical component. Vaccine is just one strategy. And so right now we want to make sure that individuals that have a confirmed exposure to an individual that with monkeypox has access to the vaccine. It's best to get the vaccine within 4 days of exposure, but up to 14 days afterwards has been known to improve the sort of the outcome. One thing I want to mention about the vaccine is that the Jynneos vaccine, which is actually a smallpox vaccine, is a two dose series, and it's and you reach peak effectiveness 2 weeks after your second dose. So it's imperative that even if you get the vaccine, you have to have concomitant prevention measures at the same time to prevent subsequent exposure and infection. You know, there have been reports already of individuals who have received a single dose of the vaccine and then developed monkeypox infection. And so I want to just emphasize that the vaccine, right now we're in limited, incredibly short supply, but at the same time, it's not, bulletproof armor where it's 100% effective after you get a single dose. And so we need to continue to improve access to the vaccine. There's no question about that. But at the same time, we need to maintain these sort of, preventive measures, limiting your partners, knowing who your partners are, making sure that you yourself are aware of any symptoms that you might be having, that type of thing.
And Dr. Lennertz, who should get the vaccine? And is there some type of qualification to receive it? Like, how can you get it if you want it? Is it open to everyone or are there some criteria?
Like, the criteria right now primarily is for individuals who have been confirmed exposure to monkeypox. And seven. So like I said, we're looking to, if you've been exposed, we're looking to get you the vaccine as soon as possible. Other individuals that are of consideration for receiving the vaccine are individuals who are at incredibly high risk for getting monkeypox, including those at risk for severe disease, individuals who are immunocompromised, individuals, and these are individuals who are also having multiple interactions with other people, close intimate contact with multiple individuals. And so, but primarily what we want to use this for is for post-exposure prophylaxis. An individual who's exposed comes in and they receive the vaccine.
And Dr. Wirtz, we've talked about this just a little bit. I mean, the response to the virus, the federal government's response to the virus has already been criticized. And there is a vaccine for the virus. And some people have argued that, with contact tracing and with vaccination of at-risk populations, that this virus already could have been contained much more quickly. And Dr. Wirtz, what do you make of that?
Well, this is the first outbreak of its kind, and no one anticipated it. I think the United States government has invested hundreds of millions of dollars in preparedness for smallpox. The risk of bioterrorism has been a theoretical risk for a long time. And that's why we even have a vaccine against monkeypox, the Jynneos vaccine, because it was prepared for smallpox, for the risk of smallpox. The same with the antibiotic, the antiviral TPOXX that's available and appears to be effective against monkeypox was created to be able to respond to smallpox. But it is kind of interesting that the command and control structure for responding to smallpox is the bioterrorism aspects of public health, bioterrorism and incident command and emergency management aspects of the federal and state response framework, and not the same as the framework that's responded to COVID. And so they're kind of different and competing distribution networks and policies and frameworks for the two vaccines. And that's part of the problem for why it's been hard to get it out. There aren't enough doses for an unanticipated outbreak, but also because they're completely different dissemination networks.
I want to take another phone call from a listener as we talk about monkeypox. What questions do you have? Call us at 651-227-6000 or 800-242-2828. Questions or concerns, I should say. In Minneapolis, let's talk to Zachary. Hi, Zachary. Thank you for calling in. And what do you want to share or ask?
Hi, thank you for taking the call. My concern is, I'm not old enough to have remembered the onset of the AIDS epidemic, but I have watched several movies on it. And one thing that always stuck out in my mind when I watch these movies is how awful it was in the beginning when the articles in the papers, the front lines, the headlines would say AIDS, gay epidemic, and things to that reference, and in making it a gay disease. And one thing that I find very disturbing is to create a stigma at the onset instead of, saying it could be very simply kept to having intimate contact will lead to the most possibilities to acquire this. And again, it's the stigma that's attached to the monkeypox, which is no turning back because now it is, again, it's considered pretty much a gay disease. And I find that very unfortunate and troubling.
That's Zachary in Minneapolis. Zachary, thank you for sharing that. And Dr. Wirtz, you're there at the University of Minnesota School of Public Health. What is the responsibility of public health officials around handling concerns about stigma and discrimination with this virus that is disproportionately affecting gay and bisexual men?
And that's a super important point, Zachary, and the fact that HIV early on was both attributed only to stigmatized populations, when in fact it's actually a disease that's spread in many ways, HIV is, including intimate contact and including other ways. And monkeypox will be transmitted between men who have sex with men who have sex with women, women who have sex with women, and other forms of intimate contact. And it's just that its initial spread has been in networks of relationships between men who have sex with men. So an important point to note that this is not something specific or limited to men who have sex with men, and that we all need to work against any stigmatizing language or any silence to promote open communication about people who are at risk, and that the risk is currently focused on men who have sex with men, but will undoubtedly spread beyond that.
And again, Dr. Wirtz, skin-to-skin contact, that's what you want people to be aware of this is how it's spread.
And particularly skin-to-skin contact in intimate settings, yes.
Okay. And Dr. Linz, I have to ask you, you know, what did public health officials learn from the HIV/AIDS epidemic that can be helpful for reaching out to people at risk for monkeypox and preventing the spread?
Yeah, I think as Zach mentioned, we learned a lot from that, the HIV outbreak in stigmatizing language and things of that nature. And so I think we're very, very conscious of, and again, it's a balancing act where we want to reach the populations that are currently at risk, but at the same time, message the fact that this is not exclusive to the MSM community. As Dr. Roach mentioned, we are going to see, and we have seen, transmission from parent to child. We have seen transmission with other sort of close contacts and things like this. And so while we want to reach out to the community that is currently at risk and inform them of that, you know, that this is what we're seeing, we also don't want to make this like, hey, this is only seen in this group. It's not. It's through this sort of close skin to skin, intimate contact. And we have to be aware of that. But yes, Zach, you bring up an excellent point. And again, we're trying to thread the needle on, you know, the appropriate response and getting the message out to those groups that are at risk while not stigmatizing them as this is a disease that only affects this population.
Back to the phone lines where in Bloomington, Isaac is on the phone. Hi, Isaac. Thank you for waiting.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. So I had two questions. First one ties into what earlier caller talked about. I think his name was Doug. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about how monkeypox and everything, and I was just wondering, how dangerous is it? Like, how bad can it get? You know, let's say, you know, we put caution to the wind and say we're tired of this and just do nothing. How bad can monkeypox actually get? And I also wanted a definition for what a global health emergency means. Like, what does that title mean for a disease?
All right, good questions. Isaac there in Bloomington first. You know, we stated right now we're at 38 confirmed cases in Minnesota. And Isaac is asking, well, what could it look like if it gets out of control and that number goes up drastically? I'll start with you, Dr. Leonard's there within the Department of Health here in Minnesota.
Yeah, we don't want it to get that way. That's why we're sort of increasing awareness and sort of like, getting the message out about prevention and things of that nature. You know, right now, while we're seeing sort of limited sort of like severe cases requiring ICU admission and deaths, we are seeing a lot of symptomatic individuals that are in a lot of pain, to be honest with you. Nobody likes that. These individuals, mm-hmm. Are really suffering. And not only that, I want to mention that historically, monkeypox has been associated with a case fatality rate, which means that, the number of folks that end up dying from it, between 1% and 10%. And if things got out of control and we didn't have enough vaccine, we don't have enough treatments, we don't have enough hospital beds, it became like a COVID type situation, which I don't foresee it happening due to the decreased spread. We may see an increased number of severe diseases and deaths and things like that. And so one of the things is that we want to get on top of this and make sure that everyone's informed about the prevention, about sort of like the risks and what to do when they have symptoms and sort of the vaccine and treatments and all that kind of stuff. So the whole idea is to prevent us from ever getting to that point where it becomes this huge sort of outbreak.
To understand it, to be informed about what it is and what it isn't. And his second question, he wanted a definition of what is a global public health emergency, as we've talked about the World Health Organization declaring monkeypox as. And so what does that mean? And what happens to be declared such a thing? Dr. Leonard's?
You know what? I'm going to defer to Dr. Wirtz on that because I actually I don't have a good definition for what that means, actually.
What does that mean, Dr. Wirtz?
Well, what it mostly means, and you know, there's a global health emergency. The states of New York, Illinois, and California have mm-hmm. Declared state-based emergencies. Really what it means is that resources are freed up and prioritized to respond to the outbreak, and whether that means financial resources, manufacturing resources for vaccine and antibiotic, antiviral, and also broadens, at least in the United States, the types of people who can administer the vaccine. So from perhaps just medically oriented people to pharmacists and other people. So it basically focuses attention. It frees up resources. It elevates the level of communication and the urgency of communication. So it's a good thing in general for something to be declared in a, to be declared an emergency.
All right. I have a question that's come in as in writing a couple of places on Twitter and also in other ways. One is from John in Brainerd, who's asking, is there any possibility that this virus could mutate to become more lethal or dangerous? And on Twitter, I have a question that says, is there any significant risk of the of monkeypox, this virus generating a more dangerous variant? And so, Dr. Wurtzeff, is that something that's, that we should even be thinking about? Is that possible that it could change and become something worse?
That's a question, you know, that's born out of our experience with COVID and how mutable COVID is. Fortunately, COVID is a completely different virus, small and nimble and likely to mutate, whereas the monkeypox virus and other viruses in that family are much larger, have much more sophisticated ways to prevent mutation. Monkeypox doesn't want to mutate if it can avoid it. And there's minimal evidence over the last 70 years of laboratory experience with monkeypox, at least, of it mutating in any significant way. So is there a risk? Of course, there's a small risk, but nowhere near what we've experienced with COVID.
Let's take more phone calls from our listeners. In St. Paul, we've got Shay on the phone. Good morning, Shay. Thanks for calling in. And what's your question today?
Hi there. Say, is there any more efforts in terms of rolling out the vaccine to more people? I was actually speaking to a local sex worker the other day, and she's in the higher end category, and she said that they're all trying to get vaccinated right now, but they're getting turned away, and they're definitely, you know, I would consider them in a category of high priority to get vaccinated. We're also seeing word of in different parts of the country of service workers, like in nightclubs and very busy high volume bars. Mm-hmm. Getting monkeypox, and we've got a lot of festivals coming up, including Burning Man and so forth. Just wondering where we're at with rolling out the vaccine to more people besides men who have sex with men.
All right. Thank you. That's Shay calling in, a chauffeur, asking about sex workers and the availability of the vaccine. Dr. Linnitz, we talked about the vaccine is available if you believe you've been exposed. And what can you say in response to that question?
Yeah, and I appreciate your comment, because that is true. We are rolling it out, or we're offering it, and again, limited supplies. And so, like, you know, obviously the primary folks we want to get it to is individuals with a confirmed exposure to someone with monkeypox. But we do recognize the increased risk of individuals, both men and women, that engage in high risk behaviors such as sex with multiple partners, sex in exchange for goods, whether that be money, shelter, things of this nature. And then obviously individuals with high risk conditions. And so, yes, we are doing our best to make sure that there's vaccine available for high risk populations as well. But again, we are limited with just the sheer shortage of vaccine that's presently available.
Dr. Linnitz, do you have any exact numbers on the number of the doses that are available in Minnesota? I mean, can you tell us, are there hundreds of doses, thousands of doses, or what are we looking at in terms of what's available here?
Right now,
Dr.
Wurtz.
go ahead.
So I don't have any current numbers as of right now, but I can certainly go and provide that.
Okay. And Dr. Wurtz, go ahead. What did you want to add there?
No, just that it's being controlled properly so by the health department, because they can help prioritize who should be getting it.
And Dr. Wurtz, what are your thoughts if you are a sex worker, someone who is in contact, having skin to skin contact, or exposed more than someone else? What should they be thinking or doing right now?
Well, again, that's it's a problem when that's your profession to do what we've recommended to other people, to back off from recreational sex. It's to ask a client if they are aware of any exposure to monkeypox, perhaps to examine the client to make sure there aren't any obvious lesions, to make sure the client isn't sick with symptoms of fever or malaise or aches and pains. But it is a risk in terms of exposure.
Would you advise someone to go to seek out the vaccine?
Well, I'd certainly advise them to seek out the vaccine, but given the limited number of doses and the current priority of vaccinating only people who had known exposures, as the caller suggested people who've sought it out have not been able to access it yet.
Mm. All right.
And I, sorry, if I can go ahead, jump Dr. Lentz, in real quick. The other thing too, is that, again, I would just want to reiterate that, that it's not like you get the vaccine, like a single dose of the vaccine, and then you become somehow, 100% immune from exposure and infection to monkeypox. It's just one small part of an overall strategy. And as Dr. Wirtz mentioned, the individuals that unfortunately, this is how they, this is what they do to make a living. It's unfortunate because we have seen cases of individuals where they will get a dose of the JYNNEOS vaccine and then subsequently become infected with monkeypox. It's meant to be a two dose series with the peak sort of immunological response at 2 weeks after that second dose. And so, again, even if you are able to get a single dose of the JYNNEOS vaccine, it's not 100%. So wanted to emphasize that point.
And what is the treatment for monkeypox? If you get a diagnosis and, you've had the treatment for the symptoms we've described as the fatigue, the high fever, the malaise, and then also these lesions, how is it treated? Dr. Lennox?
Oh, yeah. So we do have a treatment, actually, and it's an antiviral called Tecovirimat, and we do currently have it here in the state.
Is it a pill or a lotion, or how do you take it?
We have, yes, it's actually an oral form, an oral pill, or you can receive it intravenously if you require hospitalization. And so far, and again, as Dr. Wirtz mentioned, this was developed in relation to smallpox. But anecdotally, and we're gathering the evidence currently, but anecdotally right now, it seems that it's incredibly well tolerated first. It's available, like I said, in a pill form, so you can take it on an outpatient basis. And that we have heard reports that it does sort of improve symptoms and duration of illness in individuals that have taken it. And so we currently have a stock here in the state, and there are a few health systems that do have it available. And so, the criteria early on for receiving the treatment was individuals with severe disease or immunocompromised in some way. But now we're sort of expanding it out to individuals who are having lesions in anatomically concerning places, such as the oral cavity, eyes, anal genital region, things of that nature. And so, yes, if you have monkeypox or are concerned that you might have monkeypox or been exposed, please go see your provider, and because we do have therapeutics available for you.
And one more question, Dr. Lunas, is there any general description? We've said that there are 38 confirmed cases in Minnesota. Do we know anything, or is it available publicly, like the age range of these patients and how they think they got monkeypox? Is anything known about them that you can share?
I can say like national data, and again, this is just part data. We're not getting complete sort of records and data from all individuals who with confirmed monkeypox. But for the folks that we know, and again, this is national data. This is not Minnesota specific. We know that the median age of patients is 35 years, and the range is 18 to 76. And again, this is data from a few weeks ago. We know that of those that reported, and provided information, 99% were assigned male sex at birth, 99% reported male-to-male sexual contact, and that we know that it's affecting sort of all sorts of races and ethnicities. 38% are white non-Hispanic, 26% report Black, and 32% are Hispanic of any race. But again, with the caveat that we're missing a large chunk of data just because it takes a while to follow up the cases, and not everybody's always forthcoming with everything. So,
understood. Okay, yeah. Let's take another phone call while we still have some time left. In West St. Paul, Jeff is on the phone. Good morning, Jeff. Thank you for waiting. What's your question about monkeypox?
Yes, I was wondering, given the incubation period that can be kind of long, my understanding, I heard that it was 4 to 6 weeks. I wondered if during that period it can be spread, asymptomatic spread. I haven't heard much about that. And wondered about asymptomatic spread in general for those that don't develop lesions.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, yes, Jeff is asking about having monkeypox but not having symptoms, which you all mentioned earlier in the conversation. Dr. Wirtz, what can you share with him about that?
Well, I would say, Jeff, that the incubation period is substantially shorter than 4 to 6 weeks. It's on average around 9 days for people who've been exposed sexually or through intimate contact. So it isn't as though one needs to be worried for an extended period of time that one may come down with monkeypox if one doesn't develop it on average 9 days. In terms of the transmission from asymptomatic people, asymptomatic meaning no signs of illness, no fever, and no lesions, no question that it's less transmissible from those people, but I don't think we can say that it's not transmissible. I think that they almost certainly have systemic spread of virus and therefore may have it in their saliva, may have it in their semen without it being obvious externally. So I think that one can, less likely, but certainly possible to transmit it when one is asymptomatic.
All right, let's get another phone call in from Minneapolis. Ernie's calling in. Good morning, Ernie. What's your question? Oh, Ernie, you still there? We lost Ernie. Okay, I have a little description of Ernie's question. Ernie wanted to know, where can we get more information about monkeypox? So some good resources where we can read or listen or learn more about monkeypox. Dr. Wirtz, what would you recommend?
Well, the CDC website has excellent information on it about monkeypox. I'll defer to Dr. Leonard's, but I bet the Minnesota Department of Health has a website mm-hmm. now with information on it. And in general, I think gay men in particular, men who have sex with men, resources. There are lots of well put together websites and well structured educational materials there.
Dr. Leonard, what's been the state's response, the health department's response to this, and how are you getting information out? And what do you want people to do to learn more about monkeypox?
Yeah, as Dr. Wirtz mentioned, absolutely. You know, CDC monkeypox. If you Google that, it'll come right up. They have tons of information on there, not only about preventive measures, but sort of what's currently going on, not only in the U.S. but globally. And then a lot of information about if you do get monkeypox, you know, with treatment options, who is at risk. You know, the JYNNEOS vaccine, you know, all sorts of information. If you do have monkeypox, your isolation and quarantine requirements. And then, of course, for more Minnesota-specific data, you can always go to our website. We're updating it constantly with the latest information about the cases that we're seeing and resources and all that stuff. And then I think Rebecca mentioned a fantastic point is that there's a lot of community resources, too, for specific groups that may be at increased risk. And so you can always reach out to trusted sources that way as well.
But get informed. Yes. All right. Yeah. I want to thank our two guests, our two doctors today. Thank you so much. You've answered a lot of great questions and hopefully help people have a better understanding of what we're dealing with here in Minnesota and around the world with monkeypox. We've been talking with Dr. Nick Leonard, the medical advisor for the Minnesota Department of Health, the Infectious Disease Division, and Dr. Rebecca Wirtz, an associate professor and infectious disease doctor at the University of Minnesota School of Public Health. Thank you, Dr. Leonard. Thank you, Dr. Wirtz. And thank you to our listeners. You guys always have great questions. Today's conversation was produced by Samantha Matsumoto. Be safe. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning at 9. Thanks for listening to a recording of my live radio show on NPR News. A reminder that if you want to catch my show in real time, tune in and call in weekdays at 9 a.m.